Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 532. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me from back home in Las Vegas as I sit out here in the Rough Riders state, North Dakota, just 4 miles west of Newtown, North Dakota is actually where we are, Four Bears Hotel and Casino, enjoying the, it's the great outdoors out here, Cole Coffee. I mean, I feel like this is a place that you would maybe kind of enjoy a little peace, a little serenity. You could definitely bring some firearms out here and nobody's saying a word to you. You know what I'm saying? My goodness.
They look at you strange if you don't own firearms out there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know what? I'm not the biggest firearm proponent. Not that I'm against the amendment and the right to bear arms, whatever. They scare me a little bit, if I'm being completely honest. Like having them around a household and you hear about kids finding them or something like that. So it concerns me a little bit. You know what I mean? But out here, you would be an idiot not to own some firearms. Right? Like you're out here in kind of the wilderness. There's some wild animals and stuff like that that might roll up on you. You know what I'm saying? So here, you kind of need to have it. And if you're calling law enforcement or something to come help you out, they might be a ways away. You know what I'm saying? This place is spread out. So, I would actually, if I was up here, you would probably see me out on the range. And at that point, I would probably be singing a different tune about the need to open, to carry and that sort of thing. So how's things in Las Vegas? I've been gone for a couple days. Life good in Las Vegas. You didn't make the trip to New Jersey. Can I be honest with you real quick? I thought the UFC pay-per-view was next week in my head for some reason. When I was mapping out things, I really thought I was going to be here this week. And then I was going to be in New Jersey next week at the pay-per-view. Now, I figured it out a couple weeks ago, obviously, that, these are the next consecutive night. So, I actually was planning on being out in New Jersey to the point that I was talking to some of my guys, our photographer, Manny. I was like, yo, because he lives, right by the arena in Newark. And I was like, yo, I'm going to be in town. We should get together, maybe have some dinner, do some stuff like that. And he I guess he kept entertaining me and just being yeah, we'll definitely do that or whatever. But I think he knew that the schedule was wrong and so thought I was an idiot. And finally I had to text him a couple weeks back and go, oh, I'm totally sorry. I will not be in Newark, New Jersey at all. So anyway, you didn't make the trip either. You're enjoying hanging out this week.
Yeah, no, things are good. I actually got some friends coming in town this weekend, so I'm actually going to get to hang out with some friends. So, yeah, I'm not minding staying home. And we've said it before, man, working on the couch, doing the remote editing thing is nice. I like it. You know, granted, it's fine and it's fun to be on site, and I'll get to do that in just a couple weeks when we have UFC 317 here in town. But no, I'm enjoying it. You know, the weather's nice outside. We did get a little bit of rain the other day. I can't remember if you were still here when we got the thunderstorm. That might have been, was it yesterday? No, maybe it was a couple days ago where we actually had some thunderstorms and people were showing pictures of hail, which doesn't happen often here in the desert.
Yes.
And people freak out when they see it because they're just like, what is that? What is this?
Well,
small icy substance falling down on my car, you know.
Hail in
Las Vegas. It's always neat to see people dealing with hail.
Well, I was going to say, hail in Las Vegas is pretty random or rare just as it is, but in June as well. I mean, come on.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, listen.
Yeah, it's a little strange, but no, things are good. Always good to be here in Vegas, man. You know what it's like. I love it here. It's great, man.
Here's the thing is, you and I both love being at the pay-per-views, especially. I mean, but I will say the East Coast pay-per-views where you know you're getting out of there at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and rushing home, like I can take or leave those. I can take or leave those. So, all right, listen, I am out here for CFSC.
Yeah, and especially in some of the locations like a Jersey or New York where, you know, like the transit a lot of time from your hotel to the venue might be 40, 45 minutes or more, you know, depending on when it's happening, you know. So, like, that's – it's not as fun as it all seems. But, yeah, no, those boys can enjoy enjoy Jersey, fellas. Jersey.
I did hear from my buddy Manny that lives next to the arena that I believe it's a big like a Portuguese food festival or something out there. So I don't know if your boys Mike Bond and Nolan King are getting to enjoy in a little Portuguese food festival next to the arena while they're there. But he said it was a big deal. I don't know much about it, but he said it was a big deal. So.
Well, I certainly hope so. I'll make sure I'll hit up Nolan and make sure he's aware of it. If not, to go check it out. Yeah, they can eat some meat for us.
That sounds so terribly wrong.
However, like, that sounded, yeah. You could take it.
Was I being polite? Was I not? You'll never know. all right, listen, I am out here for CFFC 143. We'll talk about that a little bit. But I will say, man, I'm you know, obviously I've been making this big, you know, job transition for a while. It's so much different now, man. Like when I used to go, so this is my third time being in North Dakota. Four Bears Hotel and Lodge, cool place, man. And then there it's massive construction going on. They're building like a whole new tower. We thought the new tower was going to be ready. It's not just yet, but they're getting close. They're adding like a new steakhouse, this whole new tower. They're redoing the whole entrance and this big. I mean, they're doing a lot of expansion here. So this place has been here a long time, but they're really trying to upgrade it. And the event center is literally as good as any venue we do shows in. Like it's a newer construction as well. It's laid out perfectly. It's cool. So it's great, and the atmosphere is awesome. Like because. I think, you know, there's not a ton of entertainment options rolling through North Dakota when they have something. Like, people show up, you know what I mean? They drive in from wherever, and, like, it's a great atmosphere. So, looking forward to it. But this is the first fight week I've had here since my move to general manager. And, you know, used to, before I was in this position, I would just kind of roll into town, grab a couple frosty beverages, maybe grab a couple cigars, hang out. I mean, you know, I had stuff to do. Like, I'm watching tape on our guys, and I always did, like, interviews and stuff and preparation and, you know, get my notes ready and all that. But that was really all I had to do. So I just kind of hung out, got my notes ready, watched tape. I mean, you can watch tape and smoke a cigar and have a frosty beverage and watch your tape and get your notes together. That's easy. You know, now I got stuff like, you know, I'm monitoring lighting installation and you know, scheduling cage builds. And just before we got together, I'm sending texts back and forth about crew transportation because it's a little bit of a drive to the airport. We're monitoring fighter arrivals. We got weigh-ins later today and how are weight checks going and are there any things that we need to worry about and that sort of thing. So it is a much different experience. One that I will say that I both asked for and absolutely love, but I will say I'm having to like adjust my mind. It kind of reminds me of like when I first had a kid and like when I would come home, like I would go on UFC trips and I would come home before we had a kid and my wife, you know, I'd come home and she'd be like, "Baby, how you doing? You know, I did this little project around the house while you were gone, and I did this for us. And oh, by the way, here's dinner that I cooked." And all, and I'm like, "Wow, this is great." And then once we had a kid, like once I got home, it was basically just like, "I've been a single mom while you've been in Brazil for a week. So here's your son. I need you to take care of him for a while I actually get some rest." And so it was a big adjustment of like making sure your mindset was there and everything was different. And so I'm kind of going through that right now, but I'm absolutely loving it, man. It's fun being so much more ingrained in the organization. So it's definitely changed the week,
yeah.
But it's great, man. You know, we got a great card. It's always fun seeing Ramzi Nijem has a kid on the card, so like seeing an old friend, you know, that we've covered his career and now he's kind of transitioning into the coaching phase and he's got like a kid that he's coached since he was a teenager that's making his pro debut. So it's pretty cool, man. I'm enjoying that side of it. And because I got here a little bit earlier. See, when I was just doing commentary, then it wasn't necessary for me to arrive so early. So I came in kind of late. Now, obviously, I got a lot more to do. I got to get here earlier in the week. But I did learn about this. Fun fact. So this area, it's Four Bears Canoe Lodge, just west of Newtown, North Dakota. It is run by the three affiliated tribes. Okay, it's an organization of the three affiliated tribes. That's who we work with. That's our partners here. That's who owns the casino and all that. Great people, all the people around it. But the first time I heard the three affiliated tribes, I was like, man, how cool is that? Like, the Native Americans were out here in North Dakota, and they realized that as individual organizations, it was going to be tough for them to survive and thrive out here. So the three tribes came together, and they were affiliated, and it helped them be strong and survive. That's what I thought in my head. And then since I was here longer, I had a little chance to talk to one of the elders and learn a little bit more. And he's like, no. They were three different tribes that the government just pushed together and was like, you guys live here. This is where you have to live. You have to go to this piece of land, and that's where you get to go. And so they were kind of forced into living together and making do in the area. But they got the last laugh because they found oil on their land. And so they were forced onto land by the government. And then they found oil here, man. And obviously, it's they have flourished ever since. So, nice little history of the land here.
I just did a quick – it is. I just looked it up. The reservation consists of 988,000 acres, of which 457,837 acres are owned by Native Americans, either as individual allotments or community by the tribe. And it says the three are the I hope I don't say these wrong, but I'm sure I will. The Mandan, the Hidatsa, and the Arikara Nation.
Well, sir,
as the three affiliated tribes.
That is why I just use the term three affiliated tribes, because I also did not want to butcher it. They are kind hosts here and great people, and I did not want to butcher the name. Yes. But yes, so a little bit of history.
Well, see, I'm not there, so they can't do anything to me. Well,
this is true. it was actually interesting. One of the gentlemen I was talking with yesterday, he was saying that like years ago, I think they said like in the 70s or 80s or something, maybe even older than that. But one of like the tribe elders had like a vision. And was like, one of these days, and I think it was an older woman, if I remember the story correctly, and I apologize if I get it wrong, but that said that one of these days, our land is going to look like a birthday cake with candles everywhere scattered throughout the land, and we will thrive. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? And now, when you drive through it, you've got those refineries that have that long, kind of peak with the flame at the top of it. I was like, that is crazy, man. Like, she saw it. Didn't understand what she was seeing, but she saw the vision for the future. And like, this is what the land will thrive, and it has, man. So, anyway, cool little backstory. I thought it was
neat. As soon as you
said
that, I was
like
oh, my goodness. I know where you're going. That's cool.
Isn't that crazy?
That's very, very cool.
It's crazy. All right. Well, listen. Yeah. We're here for CFSC 143, but of course the world is talking about UFC 316, a card that I am intrigued by, man. Obviously, the press conference will be coming up shortly, and there'll be some more stories and some more back and forth. But, you know, checking out the media day, checking out all the interviews, everything that's been going on. I've said it, and we've been talking about it. When this fight between Merab Dvalishvili and Sean O'Malley was first announced as a rematch, I really just was not very interested in it at all. I thought it was far too soon, and it felt, I don't want to say selfish, that's the wrong word, but it just felt like the UFC was like, can we get Sean O'Malley another chance just in case? Like, he's kind of one of our stars. Like, let's get him back there. And not that he isn't deserving. Like, he's great and all those things. But I got to say, and I want to get you, because I feel like you look at things a little bit different than me, and maybe sometimes a little bit more realistic, maybe cynical. I don't know what the right word would be, but like
maybe.
It's one of those two. Take your pick. Once again, was it positive? I don't know. Was it negative? Did I mean for you to eat some meat? I don't know. But no,
I've already
listen.
Had a response from Nolan. I sent him that message, and he was like, "Ooh." So he's into the man meat. I mean, the Brazilian meat thing.
The Brazilian man meat, you mean? It's Portuguese man.
I mean, the meat held by the Brazilian men, you know, with the skewers, you know, the gauchos. Obviously, that's what I meant.
Oh, ridiculous. We are so immature. All right.
Now I'm literally craving a churrascaria right now.
You
started thinking about it.
You're definitely doing churrascaria tonight.
It's been too long.
So I wasn't really excited, but then Sean O'Malley starts doing interviews, and you know, again, I mean, the joke about some of the things that he's not doing, but not smoking weed, staying off social media, you know, take your pick on where you stand on the importance of abstaining from masturbation and fight preparation, I guess, how that factors in. But then even just little things, it's symbolistic, I guess, or like the whole thing of like he's not going to dye his hair, you know what I mean? Like I'm not just trying to be the flashy guy. At least this is the way I interpret it, is that like I feel like he really is taking the lessons to heart of what he learned in the first lesson, taking a deep look at himself, not trying to make any excuses, and saying, you know, I want to give myself the best chance of winning this fight that I can. And again, it's still a hell of a stylistic matchup because Mirad Dvalishvili is incredibly tough against anybody. But I feel more intrigued now than I was when the fight was first announced. Has any of that excited you more or lend you to believe he has a better chance this time around? Or is that just silly storytelling?
I mean, I definitely would think any time that somebody really looks at themselves and decides what they did in their preparation for the first fight, and you know, obviously, you know, he found that he needed to make changes. You know, whether that deep down he felt that he didn't take Mirab seriously in the first one, and so he kept doing everything that he was doing and thinking like, oh, I'm that good, I don't need to do what I don't need to, you know, push myself too hard. This guy is he's just all talk. You know, I'm the bigger guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he gets through that fight. And, you know, the thing for me, I still feel like they never really came to grips that they lost the fight. I don't know if I've ever really heard him say, like, you're right, Mirab, you got the better of me that day. You know, him and his coach still swear, it seems that they won that fight. But even outside of that, you know, he decided that he needed to make changes. So obviously he thought that he either didn't do enough last time or he wanted to make sure that everything was given for this preparation. And when somebody says that they did that, and if that's 100% true, then I gotta think he's going to have a more invested, better performance. So that's exciting for me. You know, I'm with you that I thought this was a really, really fast turnaround. I like this fight though, so I wasn't really like, oh, okay, here we are again. You know, it wasn't the immediate rematch that, you know, some people and what Sean and them are clamoring for,
right?
You know, when they were saying that they didn't lose the fight. We've seen Mirab defend his belt, you know. I mean, Sean is still at the top of the game, and when it counts, you know, in the UFC, I mean, I feel like, you know, in a way, the sport, you know, people are always saying, you know, we're not getting the matchups that we need to keep this sport exciting. The fans are losing interest, you know, blah, blah, blah. If this is like one of those fights that people need, if this is what the fans ultimately want, and us diehards are like, well, you know, the division should have, you know, there's other guys that could get in there. If this is what it needs for the casuals and other stuff to kind of keep them excited, and if, in fact, people think that the sport is dying, you know, it is a fun matchup. You know, we know what we're going to get fight week. Somebody out of the two, whether it's Sean or whether it's Mirab, there's going to be some funny lines throughout. There's going to be some other drama from the other stuff that's happening on the card. I'm into it. I mean, I know what we're going to get from these two guys when they both show up and give everything, and that's exciting. You know, regardless of if it's happening quicker than we thought it would happen, you know what Mirab gives you. You know, it's almost wondering how serious Mirab is. You know, like a lot of times, you know, we see the Mirab that wants to go out there and like he thinks about, oh, I'm gonna kiss him. Well, I kissed him in his last time, so now I gotta do something different. And it's like, bro, just stay focused, do your thing. Yes. You know, it's gonna be badass. It's gonna be exciting. So it's always fun to wondering what Mirab's going to pull out in a fight when he's comfortable and when things are going his way. And when you see Sean, when his striking's on, when everything's on and it's just smooth, it's so fantastic. When he is locked in and he's moving his head movement and just the way he strikes, it's so fun to watch because you're just like, wow, I didn't know that you could throw that strike from that angle while he was, you know, leaning backwards and shifting to the side, and he throws some crazy kick or some crazy punch out of nowhere. So I know it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. But I appreciate the effort that Sean has made and he's put into this, just because you want to hear that somebody is that serious. You hate to hear like, oh, well, I'm gonna go in here, I'm gonna give you guys what you want, but trust me, you know, I've done the work. Yep. And then you see a lackluster performance, and you're like, did you really? You know, but this is a guy that made his persona based upon, you know, it grew into this larger than life. Watch me on my live streams. Look at my badass cars. Look at this. You know, me. If I want women, I'm gonna get women. Blah 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 blah. You know, and then I think a lot of people, you know, can get caught up in that lifestyle. And we've seen that happen to Connor. Connor got caught up with it, and he never got back to the fight game.
Yes.
You know, here's a kid that is on that precipice to where, you know, he's not where Connor was, obviously, but the kid made a crazy life for himself, and he's built himself into this superstar. But he's at that point where he's like, I can still do this. Let me shut the door on the distractions and let me get back to showing you what made you fall in love with me in the first place. So how can somebody not be excited just to see what that actually means? So I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to end the same way, where, yeah, I still think that Merab is going to hold on to the belt. But do I think it's going to be a more challenge for him? I certainly hope so.
Yep.
I think it'd be fantastic. I mean, I think everybody loves it when you see these fighters get pushed to their limits, and then you see them become even greater in that moment. And that's the part that you leave loving that fighter even more, where you're like, oh my God, I didn't think I could appreciate this guy's skills anymore. And then they do something fantastic. And that can come from either side in this fight. Yep. You know, I think a lot of people are easily picking Merab. If Sean goes out there and does what we know Sean is capable of doing, of course he's capable of beating Merab. This is not 100% guaranteed. Like, I'm not going to put my house down on Merab. You know, but would I put some money down on Merab? Sure.
Yep.
But would I be willing to say that Sean O'Malley can't do something to beat Merab? Hell no. Of course a dude could do something, you know. So it's interesting.
I'm so glad you feel that way, because I, you know, again, and I do, I'll be honest. I mean, I do like stories, and I do like, you know, whatever. I mean, that's part of what I love about the sport. But I do honestly believe everything you said. It kind of reminds me of a little bit like, I feel like Israel Adesanya for a while, like he was doing so well that like then he almost got to where it was like more about the show, you know, versus like going out there and just, yeah, being vicious. You know what I mean? It was like, not only do I have to win, but I have to win while I'm wearing this thing, and I have to do it from this position because I want to finish in this angle for the camera. You know what I mean? It's like, no, just go be vicious. And I feel like Sean getting back to that is good. Yep. But the other thing, and I really started thinking about this week, and I'm glad you said it, because I started thinking about this week, and I'm like, are you being silly, John? I might as well be leading the Merab Dvalishvili bandwagon. I can vividly remember when he was 0-2 in the UFC and telling people, guys, you may look at a guy that's 0-2. I'm looking at a guy that's going to fight for a title someday. Like, you could just see it. And he had some weird results. It was a weird split decision. It was a weird technical submission. And the skills were there. And so I love Merab, man. I told you, we saw him at the open workout, and he was so kind to me, and he's always been so nice to me, and I just like him. I love his personality, that I feel like people are finally really embracing and getting and respecting and appreciating. So I am a Merab fan. But you said something that I was thinking about earlier this week. I'm like, is he going to try to get too silly in there? Like, is he so comfortable? He's no longer the guy that's not getting respected. He's no longer the guy that's not the champion. He's no longer the guy, you know what I mean? Like, life is good. Everything's good. And he's already beat Sean O'Malley. And you said it. He's an entertainer, right? He's a silly guy. He's a funny guy. That's why I think he's cool. Like, he's amazing. Everybody talks about the gas tank and the cardio and the sheen, and that is what you should talk about. But when you talk about the personality, yeah, and the flavor and all that stuff, that's who he is as a human being. And exactly what you said, like, some of that stuff, if you remember, you know, the Sphere show, the first meeting, I had zero doubt who won the fight. But if you go back and score it round by round, it's a little bit closer than you might remember, just because he kind of gave away some rounds because he was messing around, yep, a little bit and having some fun. And it scares me a little bit. So if Merab comes in, because if you just know, you know, I'm getting video game character Merab and video game character Sean O'Malley, right? Like, they are their exact capabilities, you know what I mean? I'm picking Merab. You know what I mean? I'm picking Merab. The way their styles match up, the way they execute, I'm picking Merab. But if I do have this refocused Sean O'Malley, this guy that feels like I got something to prove against the guy, Marab, who's like, oh, I already beat him, and I'm going to go in, I'm going to have some fun, and I'm going to kiss him again, and I don't even need to shoot a takedown. I'm just, you know, hey, we just saw it with Bilal Muhammad, right, where Bilal was like, ah, oh, man, you know what, I don't even need to show my grab, but I'm going to show my Canelo hands. And I love Bilal Muhammad, too, so I'm not criticizing him. But sometimes people get these things in their heads about they need to perform a certain way or they want to accomplish a certain thing when it should be about, like, just go win the fight. So I am a little bit scared that Marab gets a little too casual in here.
And I did like that he actually, when he sort of brought that up at that media day that we had at Extreme, you know, he kind of mentioned it a little bit. But I kind of felt like if he's aware of it, then he knows that, okay, I can't get too carried away, but it's hard to think that he wouldn't. I mean, especially when you see, like, we go back and look at when Zuck was there. You know, he had a guy bent over, and he was, like, talking to Zuck.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get over to the Sphere, you know, and he's jawing over at Hunter and Dana and those cats, and it's just like, bro, we get it. You're funny, and you're really, really good, but, you know, like, seal the deal. I still remember when Cody Garbrandt was in, and luckily the fights play out in their favor. But when Cody Garbrandt was fighting Dominic and he was really feeling himself and he was doing all the little feet work and stuff, I was like, bro, you're killing him right now. Don't clown and get knocked out.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, I guess all you have to do is look at Exhibit A as in Anderson Silva clowning around in front of Chris Weidman. All it takes is you clowning around and somebody slips up, you know. Yep. Granted, when Marab usually does it, he's in a dominant performance. I mean, sorry, a dominant position.
Correct.
So it's not like he's on his feet and he's like, oh, you know, doing whatever and trying to do the moonwalk and then takes a kick to the head. He's usually in a controlling position where he has the guy struggling to get up. Okay, if that is the only point where you're going to try to showboat, I'll give you a little leniency, but I'd rather you just finish it and focus on that. Because, yeah, if you give time away and the judges think like, okay, well, he's in top control, but was he doing anything? I saw him motioning off to the side, but that doesn't count for points. You know, like if you're actually doing damage instead, that goes a lot further. So, you know, but it's interesting. You know, you bring up the video game characters, and it's I almost feel like with on Sean's side, you almost could have that bonus character. Like we've seen the Sean with the hair and everything, and that's the first character that's been in the game.
Right.
You almost like you have to put in this promo code and now we get this Sean version
because
it could be a completely different version. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like this is he looks different. He looks different than the other game
acting
version.
Acting different. Acting and, different. Right. Like not
different.
Not interested in really talking or putting on lines. Yep. You know what I mean? Just like.
And who would you play with?
Yep.
You know, that's kind of interesting because I would see where I would be like, well, shoot, I want to play with both. I kind of want to see what both do,
mm-hmm.
you know, whereas Marab doesn't really have a second character.
Yep.
Marab, you know what Marab's going to get, you know, like maybe there's the Marab, maybe there's the bonus code where you add it and he can do different, you know, taunts. That's all you get. That's the only add-in that you can get on Marab's character is the taunts. He adds the taunts. But I feel like with Sean, I almost like this could be a different bonus character that we see. And so at that point, the outcome, nothing's guaranteed. I mean, as much as, you know, we say it all the time, we think we know what we're talking about. We think we know what we're betting. We think we know what we're doing with our picks, you know, where none of us are 100%.
Right.
We try to get – we do decent, but, you know, you can go in and have everything thinking. But at the end of the day, it's a fight, and, you know, things happen. It's all a little bit of chance in there, and – you know, if by O'Malley doing what he's doing, you know, he's giving a lot of chance to go back on, you know, his side. He's he's doing the right thing. So it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I'm totally excited because that's the kind of thing. When you watch this fight, you know that either guy is capable of doing some great things. So it's interesting. You just like with Sean, you feel like there's more potential for those, oh, my gosh, moments to kind of come out of nowhere. If he's fully focused. So I'm going to be at the edge of my seat, you know, which would be my couch, which is, I'm going to be looking forward to that.
Hey, it's not a press room. It's not a press room.
I am not going to be in the middle of Newark at 2 a.m., you know, trying to struggle to stay awake to watch this in a crowded room with a bunch of other mofos. I'll be at home enjoying the fight, but I'll be at the edge of my couch, man, waiting for this one. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
I agree, man. I'll let it be known now. My wager with our friends over at CloudBet will be on Marab Dvalishvili. I still feel like it's the right pick, but I'm far more intrigued by this, given all the build up to it than I was initially. So I think it's going to be a good fight. I want to get your thoughts on the co-main event as well, because I got this is another one. This is a tough one for me, because I, and you can stand testament to it, I'm Kayla Harrison fanboy, man. I from day one, I have just been a fan of her personality, of her style, of her attitude. Like, my favorite thing is when we would, you know, go to Coconut Creek and do gym visits at American Top Team and watch practice, and Kayla's out there talking more shit than anybody on the mat, right? Like, just, I mean, running shop over everybody in there, and, you know, just gives it as good as she – I mean, it's just, she's fun to watch. So I'm a huge, huge fan. And I do believe – I've always felt that she had the ability to be a UFC champion well before she ever made the transition over. You know, people, she's fighting over there. I'm like, you guys are crazy. She has it. So I really believe she has all the abilities to beat Juliana Pena, and I believe she has the abilities to be UFC champion. But I can't get it out of my head that if Juliana Pena can last 5 minutes for sure, 7 minutes for sure, maybe 10 minutes – I know if it goes to round three, the momentum starts really shifting, because Kayla, that weight cut is not easy. She does it professionally. She doesn't do it unprofessionally, but it's not easy regardless. Like, she is big. She yep. is. She's a thick yep. body with muscles. And again, she's not like somebody that crashes hard with, you know, terrible weight cutting. Like, she diets down for 16 weeks, 12. I mean, she's a two-time Olympic gold medalist in anything. You don't need to question their professionalism, their work ethic, their dedication, all those things, right? She's got all that. But Juliana Pena, say what you will about how their skills stack up, about, you know, if you want to compare grappling to grappling, striking to striking, strength to strength, Juliana Pena is just, like her or not, like her trash talk or not, think she's cringe or not, whatever you want to think, she does not quit, ever. And so I believe that Kayla Harrison will win this fight. But if we tune in on Saturday night and we see Kayla dominate for two rounds and then start to fade away and Juliana Pena just won't, I could see an upset happening. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Kayla's going to get the yep. finish early, but Juliana Pena just doesn't quit. So I don't know. Maybe it's almost the fact that And to be honest, I like Juliana Pena as well. I mean, it's anybody that has interviewed Juliana Pena will tell you it is a little bit uncomfortable because you don't know if she hates you or not. Like, she's always got that little yep. that edge, that vibe, you know what I mean? And I think yep. she chooses to be that way. But, I mean, I can tell you, and I mean, we've been interviewing her from you know, her Ultimate Fighter days. Like, you always wonder, like, does she hate me? Does she, like, really hate me? But I've come to love Juliana Pena as well, just because she is such a unique character. And she has, if you, yep. you know, if you really study her life and what she's been through and all, like, she's been through a lot. So she deserves a lot more credit. I know she gets a lot of hate, but that's because of the way she talks. I get it. So bottom line is, I'm picking Kayla. I'm on the Kayla Harrison bandwagon. I'm the president of the fan club. I believe she's one of the best women's martial artists of all time, and I think she's going to get the ability to prove it. But I'm also not saying that this is a guarantee, because Juliana Pena's just durability scares me against somebody that's making a difficult weight cut down to 135 pounds.
Yeah, that's what everybody's pretty much saying right now. That's the biggest, hardest battle. At least that's what people say. That's the first battle. Let's say that first battle. I don't want to say that's the hardest battle that she's got to fight in the fight week, because obviously, you know, Saturday is going to be the toughest fight.
Yep.
But if Kayla can make it to that scale and have a good cut and doesn't look crazy, deathly depleted, and then, you know, hurt herself in the process, because we've just seen recently a fight that dropped out because of the bad weight cut. You certainly don't want it for a title fight. But, yeah, I mean, if Kayla should get there and she looks good, I have every belief that Kayla's going to do it. But, you know, when you look over Juliana, you know, I would be the first to admit that, you know, when it was Juliana versus Amanda Nunes, and I was like, there's no way Pena's going to beat Nunes. Nunes is unstoppable. She's unbeatable. There's no possible way that she's going to beat Amanda Nunes. Done. Stop asking me. It's done. And then you watch that fight and you're like, holy cow.
Yep.
I know nothing. This sport. You know, Juliana is capable of incredible things. And I think you're right. If she can manage to make it to the later rounds, and if Kayla, for some reason, has to go so deep. And even though she's controlling, even if she's, I can just envision her literally trying to pull an arm bar for three straight rounds. That's tired for Juliana to fight off, but that's tiring for Kayla to try to pull off.
Yep.
The great thing about Kayla, though, if she is one of those positions, she doesn't just hold on the arm. She will find ways to punch. She does an incredible job of turning these submission attempts into just massive ground and pound sessions. And if she can do that while Juliana is tough as all nails, you know, she's tough as all get out, she's going to start withering. And at some point, you know, I think either an arm will slip. She's either going to take her neck from her back, or she's going to take the arm, get an arm bar. That's how I envision it ending. I don't see Kayla being able to finish Juliana with strikes, not on the feet.
I agree.
Maybe if it's a ground and pound or something like that, and then the TKO stoppage because, you know, Juliana can't just defend herself. And after taking so many strikes, which we know Kayla's capable of, you know, if she gets on her back and flattens her out and then just starts dropping bombs on her head, the ref's going to step in and stop it.
Yep.
You know, and I don't see Juliana tapping. I would almost think that she would rather go out, but who knows? I mean, like, maybe she will if they get her in a bad rear neck and she knows that she can't get out. But, dude, Juliana is capable of a lot of great things. And, yeah, she says some really cringy shit during the fight week.
She does.
A lot of times you can't tell if it's just like, yeah, like you said, like if she hates you or not. She's got a massive case of resting bitch face that could be up there with anybody on a good moment. But then when she smiles and she looks like the most pleasant, warm person you've ever seen, it's like it's such a flip of a coin that it's amazing. But, you know, this is another one, and I haven't heard it this fight week, but I know back when Amanda, you know, they fought, you know, and Juliana, and, you know, both of them being mothers and talking about motherhood, and Juliana really wanted to bring up the whole birthing thing and, like, how Amanda didn't go through that as well. She's the only one that did it. This is another case where Kayla took over. Her kids are her sister's kids.
Right.
You know, so this is another chance where I can see Juliana, and I was like, that to me is just like the cringiest cringe. I'm like, stop, bro.
Yeah.
I get it, whatever you're trying to prove, but you're just bringing another strong woman down that chose to be a mother, you know, but through a different route. Like, just don't, you know, like, you already have enough people picking on women and mothers, single mothers or whatever. It's just like, don't join it just for just fight
week. Bad.
Find another way to talk shit, you know. But that, I didn't like that, but I get it. And, you know, if that's how she wants to get in her head, to do what you need to do. But, you know, I was just like, please don't do it this week. Please don't do it. Yeah. But, and I haven't heard it, but you never know. I mean, there's still, the press conference is going to be happening in like 2 hours. So I guess we'll see what happens when there's a crowd in front of them and then they're playing to the crowd, because you know something's going to happen. I envision more stuff. You know, who knows? I mean, I can definitely see where the comments coming from Kayla and Juliana today might be more jarring and get more crowd reaction than anything Marab and Sean says.
100%. You know, like, 100%. I 100% believe it will. And especially that crowd up there, I will say, as much as, you know, the East Coast crowds or the East Coast pay-per-view times, I should say, are annoying and, you know, it's a pain. The crowds, especially in New York, are always fun, man. I know this is Newark; it's right across, but it's the same group of people. You know what I mean?
It's the same people.
It's the same folks. I love it. They bring a different, like, they're just out there like taunting and I love
nuts,
it,
man. They're crazy.
They're amazing.
They're absolutely bonkers. It's fun to be on those ones, because I know a lot of times people watch press conferences and they're like, oh man, there's nothing really there, blah blah blah. And they're like, and then half of them are like, oh, the stupid media questions. Well, I'll tell you, us as a media person, I love those ones where you can actually hear the crowd enjoying themselves.
Yes.
You know, and just getting into it, because I know that's what the fighters get off on as well, you know. So, like, they're not doing that just for us media, because we saw them the day before. They're doing it for the crowd. So I want the crowd to react and give them what they're doing for them.
It's such a good point. And so not that I'll ever sit here and be like, oh, cry for us media people. Definitely don't. But what I'm saying is, this is the funny thing about press conferences that most people probably don't realize, is that A, the fighters generally have a hard time hearing our questions. B, there's a lot of times we can't hear their answers at all. So even if we were trying to follow up or whatever, like, we don't even know what was said until we go back and watch the tape afterwards, just because of the way the acoustics are set up. So that makes it a little bit challenging. I think people do forget about that too. Like, you know, that's the best question you had for so-and-so. Like, do you also realize that we spoke to them for 30 minutes yesterday? Like, there's not a lot left to talk about. So, and again, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, cry for us. It's such a challenging position. I'm just saying those are logistics and realistic why sometimes things don't go the way you want them to go. But all that said, those I honestly, like Madison Square Garden events, my favorite moments of Madison Square Garden events are probably the pre-fight press conference just because, like, it's because of the crowd. Like, they just come out there and they're talking shit and they're cheering and they're booing and they're yelling at the fighters and it's fun. So I'm sure it'll be fun. And to your point, I think the co-main event will be getting the most discussion. We'll find out in just a little bit. I think
I will say that you brought the Madison Square Garden press conferences. They are fun because of the fans, and then they immediately suck because when they're running us out after it, since it's a union house, they absolutely hate us trying to do work, and they immediately make us rush out of it.
So
they're always
true.
Such dickheads.
They're like, you're like, bro, I'm trying to break down my camera gear. They're like, you got to go. You got to go. You're like, you see me like, literally
see
taking
me?
Apart? Like, I have lenses to detach and microphones, and you see all these cables in here? Like, I'm trying. And they're literally like, you got to go, guys.
I hate them so bad.
You got to go, guys.
It's so ridiculous.
Guys, what are we doing here?
You got to go.
You got to go. Guys, you got to go. Like, you're wasting my time talking to me. While I'm trying to break down my – you are literally slowing down the process of me leaving right now. Leave me alone.
It's so bad. Every time they're like, oh, well, yeah, we're doing another presser at Madison Square Garden. We're like, I know what this means.
Oh, it's so true. All right, so listen. So here's what's interesting about co-main event that I'm kind of – what I kind of want to see – and again, like – I'm not taking a side, but I am a fan of Kayla, I'll be honest with you, and I do think she can win. If I'm game planning for Kayla, I'll say that. I would almost say, because it's dangerous. Here's the risk, and you got Mike Brown, and you got the great coaches, American Top Team. Like, they're as good as it get when it comes to game planning, theorizing, everything. I feel like as dangerous as, like, it would be easy to see Kayla go out there and be like, Kayla, you can get this girl out of there in one round. Like, just go destroy her. I almost feel like, because she does have such heavy top pressure, as you said, she doesn't just sit there. Like, she does damage. I almost feel like she should just kind of be kind of chill with it. Like, don't rush everything. You don't need to go out there. Even though you're probably the more dangerous, the more, you know, athletic specimen, more explosive, it's like you almost don't need to do that because we don't even want to give Juliana a chance to deplete your gas tank early, to survive.
Yep.
Like, don't try to finish this in the first round. Don't try to finish it. If you do, you do. You know what I mean? Like you always say, like, don't look for the knockout punch. Just touch, and then you'll be surprised what might happen.
Like, don't force it.
That's
but if
it.
It's there, take the opportunity.
That's kind of what I almost feel like the thing should be, because in the same way, because I 100% agree with you, I don't think Kayla can knock out Juliana Pena. I just don't, on the feet. Ground and pound, 100% she can. Her ground and pound's nasty.
Yep.
But I also don't think Juliana Pena can knock out Kayla Harrison on the feet either. So, like, if
I don't think so.
Right? Yep. So I just feel like, honestly, like, don't force anything. You're comfortable. You know what I mean? Obviously, don't be lackadaisical, but I almost feel like I kind of want to see, if I'm game planning for Kayla Harrison, a little bit more of a steady pace to start out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't – like, even – there's always going to be some sort of a feeling out process. Like, nobody wants to have a fight where, you know, it's like Derek Lewis and Francis where it's like, all right, we're just going to walk this whole round. We're not actually going to throw anything. But, I mean, you know, it's one thing to have respect, but there's also, to just sort of get into the fight, you know. Like, you know, you got five rounds that you can go out there and do what you need to do. I mean, you don't need to rush it. If it presents itself and if they just look off and you feel good – do some stuff, but I mean, there's no shame, you know. You got five rounds to entertain the fans, you know, so give them a little something, you know, make sure you feel good, make sure you're warmed up, make sure you're stretched out, you got that adrenaline kicking, and then do your thing, you know. But yeah, I mean, 25 minutes of 110% each time, somebody's gonna give at some point, you know.
Yep.
And last thing people want is a round four and five of two depleted fighters just stumbling around that can't really throw anything. Do I think we'd get that through this? No, not with these two. But I don't mind, you know, the first couple minutes of them just sort of like feeling out, throwing some jabs, feeling good, you know, warming up the arms, and then get to business. As long as they get to business eventually, you know, make a fight. But it's going to be fun. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think Kayla has any – she doesn't – I mean, whether you get the belt through 3 minutes of nonstop fast-paced action once the fight starts or whether you get it at round – you know, in the fifth round at minute four, it's all the same. It's all in new, yep. You know, so it doesn't really matter. There's no need to rush and do something silly and fight different than you normally do. It's not like Kayla goes out there and just, oh, within a minute, I'm just going to get a hold of this person and do it. It just sort of seems that way because once she gets in a hold of them, fighters have a hard time of getting out of that grip, getting away from her. So it'd be interesting because, you know, this is an opponent that has really good jiu-jitsu. You know, will she be able to stop Kayla's takedowns? Not all of them. Will she stop some of them? I think so. You know, so it'll be fun. I think it's going to be a very, very fun competitive fight. I see it going Kayla's way, but I want it to be competitive.
I do too.
I want to leave thinking like that was a hell of a match. She earned that belt. You know, no flukes, no. Oh well, you just do what you do. You got a hold of her, you got her back, and then yeah, you smit her. But it still wasn't fun. You know, like I want to see a fun, exciting fight, and I think both these two title fights could be a lot of fun. I think, you know, there's other great fights on this card, but I mean, like these two should be great. I mean, I think people they're in for a good show. I'm gonna be having my popcorn, chilling on my couch. I might even open up a frosty beverage because I can do that while I'm editing at home.
That's right.
Just one.
You know, at a time. Good. One at a time. Just
that's
one
it.
At a
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Just one at a time. No, I'm actually taking an early flight home too from here, so I'll be home and plenty of time to watch it, and I'm actually looking forward to it as well. I will say a Kayla Harrison win, I think, opens up a fight with Amanda Nunes. Amanda has openly been teasing that for quite a while. They've been kind of circling each other for a little bit. And I will say this, and I think this is one of the reasons I'm a big fan about Kayla Harrison too, is the way she went about, you know, for the past several years trying to set up a potential fight with Amanda Nunes, because she always said, you know, they trained at the same gym, and obviously Amanda Nunes ended up leaving. And Kayla always said, you know, she was asked about it all the time, and every time she would say, like, I don't really want to get into this, but I would love to be where Amanda is. You know, I want to call myself the greatest of all time. I believe she's the greatest of all time now. In order for me to have that tag, I think I have to beat her. But it would be always about respect. You know, she always said, like, this is not going to be a, you know, I'm going to disrespect her, and I'm going to talk trash about her, and I'm going to do this. Like, no. I think she is the greatest of all time, and I want the opportunity to be the greatest of all time. So even though we have trained together, even though we sweat together, even though we've worked together, I would appreciate the opportunity to get there. And it sounds like, for all intents and purposes, you know, again, they've been sharing videos and tweets and whatever else for a while, that Amanda Nunes, should Kayla Harrison win, is looking to make a comeback and set up what could be a big, big super fight, and a lot of fun and a lot of storylines and a lot of attention to it. So I'm looking forward to that potential possibility. Now, I guess I'll throw it out there. In terms of women's mixed martial artists that we didn't expect to see fighting again, I hear you hear some rumblings. I hear the rumor mill
has been grinding.
I know that obviously you would never ask you to hear where you've heard these things or how you came about the information, because in your path to becoming Journalist of the Year at the World MMA Awards, obviously protecting sources and
I hear that's a thing.
You know, that's a thing. But no, you I don't know how much you can share without giving away where you heard it or who you heard it from, or how you came about this particular information. But you said something to me that there's very few times that you send me a text message and I hit you back with, like, what? And this was one where I was like, normally I'm right there with you. You sent me this and I'm like, huh? So share what you can share.
What I'm sharing is that I'm hearing that the one-time greatest women's mixed martial artist is in fight camp to return to the UFC for a title fight.
Chris Cyborg?
And that is Chris Cyborg. It is not Chris Cyborg. It is Ronda Rousey.
That's cool. Dude, that is...
Ronda Rousey is in fight camp for a potential title shot. Which makes a lot of questions. And when the first question I was talking to you, bro, I was like, that's got to be 45, right? Or are we talking 35? You know, the 45 doesn't really even exist. But, you know, with this Amanda thing going around and with the potential of Kayla going around and all these rumors, obviously maybe it was enough to bring her out of the woodworks. Now, if you go and supposedly look at like her social media and some of the posts that she said, she's just working off baby fat. She's just working off, you know, being out of whatever. But I'm hearing she's working with people that she worked with in the past that would not reflect a, say, WWE return or a movie return. You could do that with anybody. You don't train with, you know, MMA coaches.
Right.
If that's not what you're trying to do. That doesn't make any sense unless you're just like, oh, hey, buddy, what's up? I haven't seen you before a little bit. Let's hang out. Let's do some stuff. I think you go back to the people that you work with when things were going really, really well. And that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing she is in fight camp, not just trying to work baby fat off or whatever. She is in fight camp. And you know the love and respect that the UFC has for Ronda. If Ronda said that she wanted to come back and fight, the UFC would bend over backwards to make that happen. They would bring a division back that has been saddled and kind of mothballed.
They'd be like,
Ronda wants to come back.
They'd be like, you know, it's kind of funny. We were just thinking about adding the 142-pound division, like just something like something like, you know, what are you about 141 and a half right now? We were just thinking about adding the 141 and a half pound division. So, well, listen, I will say this. Obviously, again, I've been very busy up here in North Dakota. I have not reached out to corroborate any of this information that I heard from you very recently before recording the show. So I want to make it very, very clear that not presenting this as factual evidence by any stretch, but I wanted to at least give you the chance to share that, because if this does happen – now, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Probably like a lot of people listening to this at this moment, I have a lot of doubts, like, and I love me some Ronda Rousey, man. I know a lot of people disparage Ronda Rousey. I will never be that person. I had the honor of calling some of her amateur fights, and I was on board right away. I was like, guys, this girl is special. You're not going to believe it. And, man, I was there, you know, through her run at Strikeforce, and then I'll never forget coming to the UFC and seeing women and their daughters show up at open workouts and shaking and crying and couldn't believe it. And there's so many women now. I mean, the entire women's game is because of Ronda Rousey. And not just because she got into the UFC. It's not that. It is that. But it was because – and they'll tell you. There's women fighting now that saw Ronda Rousey as young girls and were like, holy shit, women can do this too? Yep. Like, I want to do that. You know what I mean? So, like – you will never hear me say a bad word about Ronda Rousey whatsoever. Even, you know, the people that were like, oh, she, you know, do I believe it would have been better had she talked to the media after she lost in Australia? I do. But I get it. You know, her entire, you know, we've talked about this over the years. Her entire, who she was destroyed in that moment. You know what I mean? And she's talked about it. And so I get it, man. Like, you know, would I have advised her to do things a little bit different here and there? Yes. Do I think that she owed us anything? Like, no, absolutely not. She doesn't owe us anything. So I will be a Ronda Rousey fan until the day I die. But I assumed that she was done. She tried to make the comeback. Obviously didn't go well. She was done. I was wholeheartedly assumption that she is never, ever, 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 ever doing this again. Wait. Would she come back just to grapple? Now that the UFC is fine in grappling people?
But, I mean, that is always a possibility. But, I mean, I don't think you need to go and do it in secret.
That's
and
true.
Train for, like, you know, oh, hey, guys, I want to go back and do a grappling competition. She could have done grappling anytime she wanted to. I don't think there would be, unless she's that sort of, like, I don't want people to make the jump you know, say if she was doing just grappling, maybe she assumes that we're going to make the transition to MMA because she's training in a discipline. Maybe she wants to be secretive. I think she'd become much more secretive after, you know, dealing with what she had to deal with, you know, sort of the down part of her career at the end where everybody seemed to be hating on her for everything. So maybe now she's just like, I don't want to do whatever.
Yep.
But I still feel like it could be more, than that. All right. And like, I have no doubt that, you know, when it comes to whether I think Ronda would make the walk and earn a huge paycheck, I have no doubt that she has that capable, that she's capable of that. The only doubt I have is she capable of beating the top stars that we have right now? And is she capable of beating Amanda, who has even stepped away for some time? I don't think that she has that in her.
Yeah.
But I don't doubt that she's not capable of showing up and making a big splash, taking some cash, and then going back and enjoying herself again, you know, and enjoying the life that she's built for herself. There's just so many possible fun things now that I could see where the UFC's just chomping at the bit. So, not from what I've heard, but I've heard this from other people. Even when you just take the fact of Kayla and Juliana right now, this 35 is not easy for her, you know. So, if she gets this belt, Amanda Nunes, whether it Kayla gets it or whatever, Amanda Nunes is off to the side and everybody says that Amanda's ready to jump back in. I'm hearing that there would be a rematch or a match with Amanda at 145,
right,
is what the plan is.
That's what I've always heard.
These other people.
That's what I've always heard.
It's 145, yep. And then there would be the potential for a rematch at the 135 if Amanda could get down into 135 and then potentially try to get be a two-belt champ again, come back, fight, you know, they bring the belt back or whatever for the 45 that's just been kind of mothballed right now. Even though nobody has it, she laid it down and they just kind of went away or whatever, right?
Well, hey,
there is the potential.
Kellen Vieira and Macy Chesson just opened the division back up last week, baby. They just opened the division back up,
which is crazy because of that was such a strange, weird,
yep,
occasion.
Yeah,
but just going on this, you know, if Amanda does come back, I mean, there, knowing that there's a potential that you have stars, like even for these, just like even if it just becomes a one-off fight thing, to be able to bring Ronda back in the mix for some of these big super fights that people always wanted but couldn't get, and then to be get them again. Kayla Harrison always wanted to fight Ronda, and she always wanted to fight Amanda. Well, maybe not while they were training, but you knew that,
right,
people always made that fictional matchup in their head, like, well, what if, you know, to have a gold medal judoka fight a silver medal judoka, even though, you know, Kayla's much more in her prime than where Ronda was, you know, where Ronda is now. You know, Ronda's not the same Ronda that she was when she was, you know, freshly off of all that other sort of stuff, but it's always a matchup that people will pay for. And then, you know, that's the thing. Like, people pay for Jake Paul to beat up withered, old, retired MMA fighters. So to have Kayla Harrison come back in and fight Ronda, there's going to be – people would be still clamoring for that because they always wanted it.
Let me.
Could it all just be rumor mill? 100%. Could she be training for something else and, in fact, just trying to lose baby weight? 100%. But
it's not what you were told.
It feels, with the timing and everything, the feeling feels like this is real.
Okay.
This feels like this is real. Feels more than just, you know, what ifs
now,
sort of stuff.
All right. So let me go back to the fact that if I was still working at MMA Junkie, I would not be writing a report on this, right? That's at that point,
yeah,
we verify both sides, we talk to multiple sources, but right now we're just friends talking and sharing information that was heard. And
yep,
I said, just in case it does happen to be true, I want you, as the, you know, future journalist of the year, to have the idea. I want to put a pin in this. But here, let me lay this out for you.
I don't want to be that Kevin Kev guy that everybody hates because he just puts some random shit out and throws it at the wall. Like I ain't trying to do that.
Look at Crazy Kev catching strays.
This ain't Kenny Ken versus Kevy Kev.
crazy Ken catching strays. All right, but hold on. But let me play devil's advocate. Let's say the information that you're hearing is true. How about this? Because I'm going to be honest with you. And I just said how much I love Ronda Rousey. I don't love Ronda Rousey's chances against Amanda Nunes now. I don't love her chances against Kayla Harrison, if I'm being honest with you. I know they had the shared judoka background, and that'd be a great story. Media would buy into it. It'd be amazing. But let's say, for instance, Kayla does win. Kayla and Amanda Nunes are going to do a fight at 145. I guess at that point, I guess it would probably be interim. But, like, Ronda Rousey versus Juliana Pena, or Ronda Rousey versus Raquel Pennington, or Ronda Rousey versus Ketlin Vieira, or Ronda Rousey versus Norma Dumont, even. Those don't scare me or concern me as much as Amanda and Kayla do. Like,
yeah,
I think those would be
competitive. Like, those are fights that make sense if you're like trying to make a return to the game.
So,
like, if
so
you're trying to stay in the sport. This,
so
I think, like, these are like quick hits and get out, I think, kind of fights.
But couldn't you do, but what I'm saying
and
is,
I think that's the kind of money, because they're not going to pay her the same kind of money to fight GDR or somebody, you know, like, it's got, there's got to be, you know,
but
the,
if you,
the side A's.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if you were, like, if you were fighting, if you had Kayla and Amanda fighting for the 145 belt, at that point, the 135 belt is on hold. So that's why I say, like, maybe it's an interim or maybe whatever. But, like, I mean, Ronda could headline a card by herself. Like, it, like Ronda versus.
Yeah. Oh, my.
You know what I mean?
Huge.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The return of Ronda Rousey. Because, remember, before Conor McGregor, the biggest UFC star was Ronda Rousey. And
100%.
I argue with me, anybody on that. Flame me on that. Tell me who's a bigger star. When it comes to, like, no. I'm not talking about the greats. I'm not talking about the Mount Rushmores. I'm talking about the biggest known UFC fighter that you could ask some random-ass person on the street who they are. Before it was Conor McGregor, it was hands down, it was Ronda Rousey.
100%.
Like, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm 100%. Wrong. You know?
No. She got... She got the mainstream interviews, the mainstream covers. You know what I mean? She got the global attention of, like, that didn't have anything to do with sport. People that didn't know anything about MMA. In the same way that people would be like, tell me about that Irish kid that don't know nothing about fighting.
Yep.
Same thing with Ronda. You can't rewrite history. So that's why I say a lot of people tried. Yeah.
A lot of people tried.
No. So that's why I say, again, still have my doubts, but if it was, like, you could bring her back and have her fight for an interim 35 title, or say Kayla and Amanda, you can only fight for the 45 title if you give up the 35. Hey, we don't do double champs anymore. We don't do double champs anymore. So, Kayla, if you do want to fight Amanda at 45 for her 45 belt that she's bringing out of storage to put on the line, then you have to give your 135-pound belt back, a la Ilya Topuria, a la Islam Makhachev.
I like that better than interim.
Yep.
Ronda's not going to come back for an interim.
Yep.
Because you get one possible shot for that comeback.
Yeah.
And if she loses the interim,
it's
done.
Yeah, you just come back and win.
It'd have to be a vacated proper belt, or you're never going to get her.
Yeah, so there you go.
That would work.
So it's a scenario. All right, well, stay tuned.
It's all just scenarios. It's all scenarios, yeah.
It's all just discussion. That was fun. That was fun little fantasy matchmaking. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see what's...
Fantasy match. Fantasy hour.
All right, listen, I got to run. I got a lot of stuff to do here in North Dakota. I know you got some work to get to as well. I will just say quick little plug for CFFC 143, Friday night, USC Fight Pass. Michelle Watterson is getting here later tonight, so she'll be working with me. The Karate Hottie will be on the mic. Bilal Hassan versus Jason Eastman, flyweight title fight. Bilal Hassan, go check out our YouTube page. Go check out our social media pages at CFFC. Like, this kid is moving the needle, especially with the Indonesian audience, man. They support him. The guy is fun to watch. If you haven't seen Bilal Hassan, you should. He's 23 years old, and the dude is an absolute savage. It looks like a future UFC flyweight. But you got Jason Eastman, who's 10 years older than him, who has an awesome flex on social media. Trains in American Top Team. He's been there for years. He comes from a wrestling background, so that might be the best wrestler that Bilal Hassan has faced. But he had a flex. I thought it was amazing a couple weeks. It's a picture of him at ATT with Pantoja, Horiguchi, and Adriana Marias, like, all just hanging out after they got done in a workout session. Like, dog, you want some
squad right there.
Yeah,
that's a badass squad right there.
That's firepower around here. So that's our main event. Co-main event. Interim middleweight titles on the line. Buddy Wallace versus Chris Brown. Very, very intriguing. It was supposed to be Chris Brown versus Kyle Daukaus. Of course, Kyle Daukaus, the long time, the UFC vet, the two-time champ. Kyle Daukaus had kind of a scheduling conflict, essentially, and he had to withdraw from it. Buddy Wallace stepped in on short notice. Buddy Wallace, 8-1 in his last nine. Really impressive what he's doing right now. His only loss in that time was to, you know, a Bellator champ. So, I mean, he's doing big things. Buddy Wallace actually played college football in North Dakota, so he's excited to actually be back here, and he'll actually have some old friends that are making the trip in to watch him compete. Meanwhile, if Chris Brown wins, this gets real interesting, because Chris Brown, we were talking to him ahead of this, and he was basically just he just called Kyle Daukaus scared, basically. He's like, Kyle Daukaus ain't got no heart. Like, he wouldn't fight me. He's scared. He's like, he ducked me. You know what I mean? So if he wins the interim title, and then you got, you know, a unification match later this year of somebody that's been like, hey, that dude right there has no heart, and he's scared, and he's afraid of me, like, that gets fun, right? That gets exciting. And I can tell you, obviously, we love Kyle Daukaus around here at CFFC. I can tell you he's not scared. He did have a conflict, and he did hate to withdraw, but – you know, it's fun when the challenger feels that way and you have a little things to talk about. You know, it makes it exciting. So anyway.
100%, man. Yeah. That's what can't Chris Brown do, man? He can sing. He could dance. It's the same Chris Brown, right?
Same guy.
Same guy?
Same guy, man. It's actually a multi-platinum recording artist and somewhat controversial in his private decision-making, Chris Brown. No! This is Chris Breezy Brown. This is a different Chris Brown.
Breezy Brown.
It's okay. You're allowed to cheer for this guy. I don't think you're allowed to cheer for the other Chris Brown anymore. So, anyway. Yeah, good stuff. So, it should be fun. CFSC 143. And then I'm taking an early flight home because I'm going to be just like you, UFC 316. I can have more than one frosty beverage at a time because I have no work to do. I'm just going to be hanging out, watching some fights. And, of course, me and you will talk about it all on the and a half episode on Monday for everybody at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. Stay tuned to social media. We'll post our picks for our friends at CloudBet. We appreciate them supporting the show.
Yes, Stay tuned.
I do want to give a quick shout out to PFL. You know, there's people questioning their decision making process, but $25 tickets is pretty cool, and the free app in the United States, so we can watch all the international events. I think that's pretty cool. They've gotten a lot of criticism. I'll give them some praise. I gotta run. I got stuff to do. People have been texting me while we're doing the show. I got stuff to handle. I know you got work to do, so I gotta get out of here. And I'll just tell everybody, thanks for listening.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.